Cliff McCollum joining us today. Cliff,
always happy to be here.
Not in a fun capacity so much as in an official capacity.
Yes, governmental and everything.
Governmental and everything. And what is your actual title?
It's the longest title in all of Christendom. I am the Director of Constituent Services for the Baldwin County Legislative Delegation.
Okay, and as I like to say, everyone considers him the concierge of the county.
And as I like to say, I'm from the government, and I'm here to help.
We're doomed.
Yeah, no. If I'm the cavalry, it's the end, buddy.
It's bad. Yeah. Okay. So what's going on in the county and in the state?
I don't know if you saw yesterday. This really isn't a state thing, but it's something pretty big news for our area.
Okay.
They canceled the shrimp festival yesterday.
Oh, my! Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
The board and the folks had some concerns about our COVID numbers and, mm-hmm. and what's been going on with that. And rather than risk it, they're just going to punt it again to next year, which you hate to see because that's a great festival. Brings in so many people here.
Yeah, well, that's one of those where it can bring in potentially 200,000 people into the local area. And that's a lot of dollars. That's a huge economic impact on the...
It is, but you've got to weigh that against the public health concerns and issues there. And I think erring on the side of caution is just something you're seeing from a lot of folks on a lot of different things now. So, hate to see the decision, but maybe it's the responsible thing to do. I trust these board members and these folks to know what they're doing.
Yeah, and it's the kind of thing that. These are the people that benefit the most from it. So if they're saying it's probably not safe, well then, okay. My opinion on the people that are in charge of those things has softened. You know, when that first started happening, I was like, no, let us take our chances on this stuff. But when you're dealing with the health of other people and you're holding that responsibility, it's a lot heavier than if you're not. So...
And that's why I don't sit on boards or committees. I don't need that extra, stress and things to consider. Plus, I don't know that I'd want to be a part of any board or committee that would have somebody like me as a member.
Well, there's that too.
So, hate to see it, but in case folks are out there looking forward to it, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but yesterday it announced. In fact, I think Debbie Williams may have broken the story because that was first. That was who I saw it first on Facebook. So, good on you, Debbie. Always out there getting the good news.
And, okay.
Why don't we move to prisons?
Okay. Mark? Well, sure. Yeah. Naturally, when we talk to you, that's the first thing I think of is prisons.
Look, I've been to jail, Mark. I ain't never been to prison.
Okay.
There's a difference.
There's a difference. Yeah.
And really, it was more of a holding cell, and it was a very odd circumstance involving like a license of mine that had been suspended, but it shouldn't have been suspended because I paid that ticket, Mark. Paid that ticket.
Okay.
And the city of Auburn ended up having to pay me money to fix all of it.
Okay.
So I got the receipts, Mark.
Okay.
I got the receipts.
Okay.
But no, this is the state prison plan. As you know, the Department of Justice has been on the state of Alabama to improve our prison situation. There's been federal intervention involved. A federal judge has told us we have to do better.
Mm-hmm.
And so the legislature has been meeting for the last few months, really since session ended, to try to come up with its own plan, Governor Ivey's plan that she had put together that involved some private prison stuff and some backing from other people. All of that kind of fell apart when the money backed away.
Okay.
So the legislature took it on itself to kind of form a joint committee and develop its own plan for how to address what we're going to have to do with our prisons. And in fact, Senator Elliott is one of the members of that committee. So he's been having to go up to Montgomery for the last few months, usually, if not every week, every other week, and trying to come up with this plan. And they've put something together that's going to be about $1.2 billion.
Ooh, wow, okay.
Well, but here's the good news. A good bit of that money is coming from federal stimulus money. Some of this American Recovery Plan stuff and some of this money that's been sent out during the pandemic, we can use some of that funding to offset the state funds that we would have to expend on this. And then there will be a small bond issue that will cover the rest of the costs on that, but it will allow us to build two new 4,000-bed men's prisons.
Okay.
One in Elmore County and one in Escambia County, kind of to offset the current prison there in Atmore, kind of give us more space, give us more to do there.
Okay.
And then there will be in the second...
That's 4,000-bed prisons?
Mm-hmm. Two 4,000-bed prisons.
All right.
And then there will be a new 1,000-bed women's prison, and that will also be up in Elmore County. And then that second phase will also include renovation and reconstruction to the Jefferson County, Limestone County, and Barber and Bullock County facilities that we... already exist. We just need to make some changes and expand and redesign some of those a little bit.
Okay.
And then phase three, it's really kind of evaluating where we're at then, seeing where our needs are, and then allocating the resources where we think we need to send them.
Okay.
Also included in this plan, and this is something that Senator Elliott's mentioned several times, there's already a prison that's been built in this state that it has not been used since it was built.
So why are we building two more if we have one that's not being used?
Well, we're going. It's currently in the hands of a private company. It's a facility in Perry County.
Okay.
And it's just never really been used. I think they might have held a few like ICE detainees over the years, but not really been used for the purpose it was built. So the state is going to, or is looking to purchase.
Okay.
That facility, and then man that facility. So that'll give us some immediate beds and space needs to fix the issues while we continue to build, because we are overpopulated.
Okay.
And that was one of the issues that the Department of Justice was very concerned about with our prisons. I think you're also probably going to see a special session just for this issue pop up probably the beginning of October. They will address the plan that I just talked about, and probably also maybe a little bit of sentencing guideline and reform there.
Okay.
A lot of the people that we have in our prisons in Alabama right now, in fact, I would say almost all, Mark, they need to be there. We're talking about your murderers, your violent offenders, your rapists,
sure.
And like drug traffickers. I'm not talking about somebody who had a little... you know, weed on, you know, had a little small amount of weed on them. Like those folks, there was a sentencing reform bill that passed several years back that kind of diverted a lot of those people into different things. Mm-hmm. The folks who are there now pretty much need to be there. But it would, and one of the sentencing things is giving judges a little bit more leeway to, instead of like some of these mandatory minimums, like you did this, therefore you have to go to jail for this amount of time, mm-hmm. would give the judges a little bit more leeway in their sentencing to possibly be like, okay, you did this, but you know, this is your first offense, and it doesn't seem like with this you would do this, so I can knock this down to this.
Yeah, I can see the issue. You know, you arrest somebody, you are a heroin user. You are addicted to heroin. You have this for your own personal use. You know what? That is a prison all of its own. You know, you're a prisoner in your own body at that point. That person needs rehabilitation, needs therapy, needs more than I even know what to tell you that he needs. But a person who is making it to sell it to people and get new customers and you know, mess up the lives of, you know, thousands of other people, that person needs to go to jail. In fact, I'd say, you know, let's bring back capital punishment for that person. So that's just my opinion.
I'm not necessarily disagreeing with you there. In fact, I feel like to actually raise money for the prison system, you could probably like auction off the right to maybe take a shot or two.
Okay.
And
well, all right.
Throw that money into the coffer. I don't know if that's constitutional. I'm not a lawyer, Mark.
Okay.
But no, it's a good situation that we find ourselves in, somewhat as awful as the prison situation in Alabama can be.
Mm-hmm.
We're moving forward. We're getting in a good direction, but it's also opened up different avenues and different ideas to other means of addressing some of these issues, like the drug user.
Okay.
There's been a strong push for more diversionary courts.
Okay.
Like our drug court here in Baldwin County that we've had for years, but other counties don't necessarily have that, but they've been moving toward that in response to some of these issues because, again, a drug user, it's an addiction. It's an illness. You can't. Do we punish any other illnesses? Like, you know, dadgummit, Fred, you have lupus. You're going to go to jail for having your lupus. Like, it's an illness. To be able to get the treatment and the rehabilitation and the counseling that people need, these diversionary programs, rather than have them see jail time for small possession charges or things of that nature, they get to go and get counseling and get mental health services, and possibly if they need medication to come down off of stuff, to be able to try to lead a normal, productive life.
Right. The pushback on that is, and particularly in calling it an illness, because people say it's not an illness. Well, the problem is it's self-inflicted in most cases. Not in all cases, and that's the thing too, but it's self-inflicted in most cases. Nonetheless, regardless of how they got it, they have it. And now it's a biological problem, not just I'm addicted to Krispy Kreme. That's a mental issue.
I mean, there might be crack in them donuts.
Right, but when you're addicted to something chemically and physically, well, now that's where it gets the title of illness. And regardless of whether it was self-inflicted, regardless of whether or not they did something stupid as a teenager and now they have it, or like so many people were overprescribed on opiates. You know, their doctor, good upstanding person, but their doctor overprescribed them on Oxycontin or oxycodone, which there was an epidemic of that for decades. You know, blue-collar, white-collar workers, fine upstanding people, now have issues with it. They didn't ask for that.
No.
But nonetheless, that is now the problem. And so now we have to face, how do we deal with it?
Well, and I'll give you a perfect example, Mark, and I'll just be very candid. Mm-hmm. I've had members of my own family struggle with this particular issue. And Mama, it's not any of us, you know, not
right.
It's Cousin Chad, and I know he don't listen to this, but my cousin was one of those people who had some surgery done on mm-hmm. his knee and got prescribed pain pills, mm-hmm. and they overprescribed them, and he developed a habit for that,
sure.
and that led to a heroin addiction.
Right.
And he ended up getting popped for possession, and thankfully, where I'm from back in Lee County, there is a diversionary program for the drug court, and so he was able, because he wasn't a violent offense, it was just some misdemeanor charges, mm-hmm. so he was able to get into that drug court. And, you know, they gave him counseling, they sent him to meetings,
okay.
they did the drug testing, obviously, and also, like, he was able to get Suboxone and, like, kind of come down from stuff. He's doing well for himself now.
Good. Okay.
He's got him a job, he's about to get married, like, because of programs like that allow people alternative forms of treatment rather than just pure punishment, they can try to rebuild their life and do what they need to do. And
yeah, this person's back in society, they're paying taxes, they're contributing, they're doing things for their community rather than being locked away in prison somewhere and just perpetuating the problem. So
no, and it's a wonderful thing to see. And there's also other diversionary programs for people who just straight up have mental illnesses. Maybe not it's not an addiction problem, it's a mental illness problem. We've got our new Baldwin County Mental Health Court that Representative Matt Simpson helped put together, has already started and is already helping people.
That is wonderful. Okay,
we're very excited about that. You know, my job, I get to do a lot of weird and random things, but at the end of every day, I feel like if I've gotten to help at least one person,
sure,
you know, I can hang my hat on something at the end of the day, and something like that is just going to continue to help and help and help. And it's got stable funding through the legislation that the Representative Simpson passed. I'm excited to get to see how much that's going to help people. I think that's going to be a wonderful tool in our tool belt to have. And there's a great team of people that's running it. Everybody's bought on board with it. And I think it'll be great.
Okay. Well, that's outstanding. That's outstanding. Well, speaking of mental illness, we understand that there was some discussion between the governor and the president.
Oh, I mean, I wouldn't necessarily call it a discussion, Mark, because a discussion, like, you know, there's like good back and forth and everybody's being all friendly and everything. This was a slap fight, Mark.
Okay.
I mean, like, it's almost like the governor about, look, if the governor, Mama, I know you're listening. If the governor is anything like my mama, she's about to get that wooden spoon out of her purse and probably going to take it to the president and just tear him up like my mama would me. I mean, she came out spitting.
Uh-huh.
So yesterday, President Biden announced a very sweeping amount of changes and proposals regarding vaccinations and vaccine mandates.
Okay.
In that, any company with more than 100 employees, it was going to be an OSHA regulation now that they had to be vaccinated and there would not be an exemption.
Wow.
Where you could like test every day. There would be like a $14,000 fine for like every infraction on it. And then he continued with the thing about if you're a federal contractor, you have to be vaccinated, and I think they removed the "or you could get tested" exemption. I think they took that out as well. And so Governor Ivey was and to be fair, a lot of governors feel like this is superseding their authority as governors over their states. But let's go to the quotes. "Placing more burdens on both employers and employees during a pandemic with the rising inflation rates and lingering labor shortages is totally unacceptable. I continue encouraging any Alabamian who can to get the COVID-19 vaccine. We have a safe and effective tool at our fingertips, so let's roll up our sleeves and get this thing beat." But that the president had missed the mark with a vaccine mandate. So, and the statement, I we'll try to find it and I'll send it to you. Maybe we can post it on the Facebook page. But I mean, she ain't playing. Governor Ivey ain't playing.
Okay.
To use a colloquial term for our governor, Meemaw's angry, and I don't think he gonna like it when Meemaw's angry.
Okay, well, just looking at it on the surface, from the federal perspective, it seems like they're saying, you know, you get mandated or we will shut you down with a $14,000 fine per infraction. That seems awfully harsh.
Well, but I mean,
it's not going to affect. You know, it's not going to affect Walmart. The folks it's going to affect is the small businesses, your local McDonald's, which are franchise based, you know, and may have 100 employees, you know, because you know, there's a dozen McDonald's here, you know, and these are their employees, okay. But it's not McDonald's as a whole.
No.
You know? And so.
Well, know. And I think there's issue too with. There's conflicting laws going on here. The state passed earlier this year a ban on vaccine passports. The legislature passed that. Governor Ivey signed it. And Attorney General Steve Marshall came out with an AG's opinion, this was a few weeks ago, that the vaccine passport ban, based on the way the legislation was written and how it passed, was essentially also a vaccine mandate ban. That you could not mandate vaccinations in the state of Alabama. So we've got an existing state law on the books that says you can't do this.
Okay.
Now you've got the federal government coming in and saying you have to do this. This is going to head to the courts. It's okay. Probably going to get tied up in an injunction. So it'll be interesting to see where the injunction lies, which thing is not going to get enforced or is going to get, and it might all get put on hold until the courts can figure out who has supremacy here. This is a huge constitutional issue. We're talking, and we don't ever get to talk about this one. It's always, you know, the First Amendment or the Second Amendment. Man, this is Amendment 10. This is powers not reserved to the whatever or state. This is going to be an interesting little thing to get to see kind of travel through the legal system. Although I also think that, you know, we need to talk more about Amendment 3 because quartering of soldiers in your personal home, that one never gets talked about really either. It just never comes up for some reason.
No, yeah. Well, I think that's why we have it, so that it won't come up. You know, and what is it? The Second Amendment protects all the others, and the first one protects the rest. So,
although I had a friend of mine back in high school who, bless her, she could be a little ditzy sometimes. Couldn't understand like why the Constitution had anything in there about whether or not you could have sleeves, because she thought bare arms were fine.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. See, I always figured it was more about having, you know, big fuzzy furry arms, you know.
Well,
having bare arms, which you're doing.
I kind of have those. So thankfully they're my God-given constitutional right, and as Charlton Heston would say, you'll pry them from my cold dead hands. And that is my horrible Charlton Heston impression.
That was pretty bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what else is going on with the state or the county or locally?
We're also going to have a special session for redistricting with the census numbers that came in.
Okay.
You know, every 10 years, you kind of have to redraw the lines on your state, House, Senate, and the congressional districts. And, you know, the municipalities and some of the other ones will have to do their council districts. Well, not Fairhope, since everybody's at large, but... that's something we're going to touch probably at the end of October, beginning of November.
Okay.
And it looks like, based on the population growth that Baldwin has seen, our districts here are probably going to get a little bit smaller. And it'll be interesting to see kind of what happens. We might even pick up somebody from Mobile might even have to come over here and take some population from us, because they need it for to jigger out their districts. You've got to have about equal representation in all the districts within about plus or minus 5,000.
Okay.
And there's been a lot of loss in the center part of the state that they're going to have to address, like the Black Belt region lost a lot of people.
Okay.
But we've grown so much, other people are probably going to have to come in to Baldwin and pick up some of our numbers just to make theirs work out right. So we may be getting... A new member of our Baldwin County House delegation, and possibly even a new member of our Baldwin County Senate delegation.
So we would have more voting power statewide?
We would. Look, add more people to the group. I'm all in favor of it.
Okay.
I mean, I got 7 bosses now. What's 2 more?
What's 2 more? Yeah, well, and that might actually help get some legislation passed that keeps some of the money that's generated here in the county.
No, you're right on it. Look, anytime we can grow and make ourselves a better, bigger delegation, that's a good thing.
Okay. I know it's an unprepared question, but any insight on the growth that's coming up over the next couple of years, how much they're projecting? I was talking to a school board member a couple of years ago, and they said that they saw a map that had 260 communities designed for Baldwin County, and this was year before last. So this,
you know, that's not something I'm necessarily privy to, or if I am privy to it, I just have not seen it.
Okay,
and sometimes I remain blissfully ignorant on things just for the sake of it. Would be a great question for Lee Lawson, our economic development director, and why don't I talk to Lee and see if we can't get him in here do an interview with
you
guys.
That'd be great. That'd be great to, like I said, because we're growing just so much.
I know Lee's got all those numbers, facts, and figures, and he can tell you about it a whole heck of a lot better than I can. Mm-hmm.
Well, I know when we had Bradley Byrne in here years ago, I got to talk to him about building the wall. You know, when President Trump was talking about building his wall, I said, we need to build that wall. We're gonna build it right there along I-10 between Daphne and Spanish Fort. We're get Spanish Fort to pay for it.
We're going to make Malbus pay for it now.
mandatory passports to visit the Eastern Shore. So, yeah.
I mean, as somebody who lives in the People's Republic of Barnwell, I am in favor of this.
Okay. Did y'all have any flooding issues down there while y'all were?
No, it really wasn't that bad. Like, I'm near Waterhole Branch, and the water was up a little bit, but it goes so quickly through there, we really didn't see the kind of, like, wholesale flooding that you would normally see from a big storm event like that. We feel very blessed.
Okay, that's good to know. Okay, anything else? I know that you got to get back to work. I wish you could stick around for Swap Shop.
I wish I could too, but I got to be at the 9/11 Memorial, actually. Ooh, and I have got a minute to get there, so let me skedaddle, my friend.
All right, buddy, it's good to see you.
Good to see everybody, and y'all have a blessed and wonderful weekend.
All right, thanks, Cliff. 1480 WABF. Stick around. We'll have Swap Shop in.